Praise God. You know, I last week we spoke about He's alive so we can thrive. And we talked about what it meant to thrive, that we could, that we were well, that we're healthy, that we're successful, amen, that we are prosperous, you know. The Word of God says in 3 John 3, 3 John verse 2, there ain't no threes. 3 John verse 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospereth. And today I want to talk to you this morning about prospering the kingdom of God. Prospering the kingdom of God. In the book of John in chapter 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and his followers. And he begins with verse 1. It says, Let not your heart be troubled. And I know that so many times in life we go through many things that may trouble our hearts. Amen? But Jesus said to him, Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Then he starts speaking about heaven. And then he's talking to his disciples and said, Well, you know the way. And they said, Well, how do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But where I'm going to go today is Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and then we will be satisfied. And Jesus said to Philip, he said, Philip, he says, have I not been so long with you, and have you not seen that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? Or he said, Philip, will you believe me just for the work's sake? He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And that's what I want to speak to you about this morning. The title of this morning's message is, Lord, let me be. He said, Lord, let me be. Well, I was just using a pun on words there. Let me, one, believe. Two, let me become. And three, let me bestow. In other words, first we need to believe if we're going to become. And we can't give what we don't have. Hello? Hello? So in other words, I have to believe, then I become, then I can bestow. And that's what I want to speak to you out of this text today, and we're just going to pray God just edifies this body, exhorts you, and it's with purpose and with plan. So we're not just haphazardly preaching. God has a plan today. He has a plan in every life that's gathered here in this room. You know, let us lift our word and make a declaration in the house today. Can we make a declaration together? Repeat after me, say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open. My heart is receptive. May you be glorified in the preaching and teaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to do in this house today. So, Father, I pray, Father God, that you speak through this vessel today. Speak with clarity. Speak with understanding. May we all understand. You know, the adversary cannot steal what we understand. So, Father, we just thank you, Father God, for understanding. So, Lord, we give you praise and glory for all that you've done and all that you're going to do, and we'll never cease to give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, I shared with some people earlier this morning that you've got to be careful what you say sometimes. You know, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof. And last week, we talked about Sunday being Easter Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, okay, for the church. And the Lord was reminding me what happens the week after Super Bowl. All the people are hurt, they're broken, they're beat up, and they go into the restoration and to get healing and so forth. And we're not to compare the church with things of this world. I guess it was just an illustration that people look at the Super Bowl so much. Now, there I go, trying to justify it. He said, don't do it. So I apologize for using that phraseology. Amen? Amen? This is the church. This ain't the Super Bowl. Amen? We're the body of Christ. We're children of God. And God wants to get something in our hearts and lives so we have a revelation and understanding of who we are. Not only of who he is, but who we are. You know, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, he that believeth on me. So let me believe is where I want to start today. Now, if you look at that word believe, in that context that Jesus is speaking, it comes from the Greek word pisteuo, and it's spelled P-I-S-T-E-U-O. P-I-S-T-E-U-O, and it means to have faith in. It comes from the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, which means faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, trusting in something. And the pisteuo is when we have trust in something. So we're having trust in Jesus. He's saying to Philip, have I been so long with you that you don't see the Father in me and me in the Father? So in other words, it's just not knowing Jesus. It's having faith and trust in him. And that's what the context of this scripture is saying. So as we look at that, where the Lord took me is to Mark chapter 9. So if you turn to Mark chapter 9 with me, we find the story of a boy that is possessed with demonic spirits. The disciples have come to tried to cast them out, and they couldn't. And Jesus, in verse 23, is speaking to the Father, and he is saying, Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And verse 24 says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. In other words, he believed, but he had unbelief, which comes from the Greek word apistia, A-P-I-S-T-I-A. And that word means he had faithlessness or a lack of faith. In other words, he had some faith, but he didn't believe enough. He didn't trust enough. And I believe so many times as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior and his healing nature, that as we come into the presence of God and we come to be prayed for our healing, we must believe that God will do what he said he will do. Amen? The adversary will try to get you to look at symptoms and circumstances and take your eyes off of the word. But God says his word will never lie. He said if he said it, it will come to pass. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he has not changed. So when Jesus is saying, he that believeth on me, all right, he is saying that you and I need to have pisteuo or faith in or trust in that everything he said and everything he did, you and I as a child of God can do also. And, we all have faith for salvation. You know, Romans 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And we don't have any problem believing him for our salvation. But when it comes to manifestation of miracles and signs and wonders and healing in our body, We just don't, because of the circumstance, because of the situation, because of things that have happened, we don't think he can do it. You know, when symptoms of sickness come on your pastor, the same symptoms of sickness that come on you come on me. When they start coming, I have to take authority over them. I have to bind them. I have to take authority over them and loose them. So I'm not questioning anybody's faith. Listen to me. There is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. What we're talking about is faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I'm speaking God's word to you today to encourage you, to strengthen you, so when the adversary tries to bring a report on you, you can believe the report of the Lord and not the report of the word that you just received. I was in a hospital room with Alexi's mom, and the doctor came in and told her that her cancer was incurable. Well, that was a lie. The next day, when they went in there, they said, "Yeah, this is treatable." Whose report are we going to believe? We're going to believe the report of the Lord, and it's all right. See, God didn't hold back from this father that didn't have enough faith. His son was still healed and was still delivered and was in his right mind. Even though the father didn't have enough faith, but the thing was, the father said, "Lord, I believe, but I don't believe quite enough. I need help." So when you're in a situation and you're trying to take authority over something that's coming against you, and you're not strong enough to overcome it, get somebody to get in agreement with. Get on your phone or go somewhere and stand in agreement with somebody. If two or three agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done of them. Hallelujah. In other words, it's not always just about you. Somebody tells you, say, "Well, man, I'm a man of faith. I'm a woman of faith. I'm going to stand on the ground." Well, then God says, "Well, that's great. But also, there's times when you don't have enough faith, when your faith is not quite enough, you need to get somebody else beside you. Get somebody that's strong in faith." Amen? Amen? God didn't call us alone. Amen? You know, and Alexi's mom, Wendy, the Lord gave me instructions. I'm speaking the word to her every day until that cancer is completely gone. I'm speaking the word to her every day. I'm not speaking Carl's word. I'm speaking God's word to her every day until that cancer is gone. She's going to hear a word concerning healing of her body every day. I'm going to speak to her mind in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to bring you that mind under the authority of Jesus. Being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. You see, and that place, when we get in a place where, hey, we have faith, but not quite enough. Remember that God didn't call us to an island. And when Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile." When I look at that, you know, again, we can believe for our salvation, but we have problems believing the other things that God says in his word. How many in the room, let's be honest, how many in the room believe Jesus Christ for your salvation? Believe in God that Jesus Christ has paid for your price and you're saved. Let me see your hands. Raise your hand high so I can see. Make sure. If you don't, I want to see it, so I got to lead you to Jesus. So we all believe that. How many believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he doesn't change? How many believe that God's still in the healing business? How many believe that God's your provider? How many believe that God's the giver of peace? Amen? Amen? So when we're getting in this arena, we're getting in this atmosphere, You, when you want to see the manifestation of God, you come in there with that mindset of believing. When somebody is up there being prayed for, just because you might not be sick today, you be in agreement right now. You be in agreement with your faith. Add your faith to the place. God brought you in here to bring your faith in here. He didn't just give you in here to get some faith. He brought you to bring your faith. So when you come into this house, bring your faith and your trust in God with you. And when we're praying for people, when we're all standing in agreement and we're all believing, then signs and mighty wonders and miracles will take place and God will be glorified. Amen. It ain't about your pastor. Amen. I'm just a leader. Amen. It's about every one of you. Because when you add your faith, 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 then all of a sudden things start taking place in the atmosphere. Amen. And all of a sudden you'll see some transformations and changes that'll just blow your mind. Amen. Amen. I was on the phone last night around 8 o'clock with Morris Cirillo. And as your pastor, I was going through a time of discouragement. I get discouraged at times too. Amen. I was going through a time of discouragement because I wasn't seeing what I believed should be taking place. I ain't seeing what God said that was going to take place. Amen. I'm looking for some radical things of God to take place. Amen. Amen. I'm not a religious man. I'm a spirit-filled man. Amen. I don't have the spirit of religion. I'll tell you that. It was religion that chased me out of the church. Amen. It's the spirit of God that brought me back. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God brought me back. And I'm looking for some great and signs and wonders and miracles and God just radically changing lives, delivering the captives, opening the eyes of the blind, opening ears, raising the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm looking for God to do everything he said he was going to do in his word. And he was on the phone. Morris Cirillo was on the phone with me last night, and he said, it's just a simple sentence. Just one thing. He said, I want to say this to you. He said, when you go through the waters, they won't overflow you, my son. And when you pass through the fire, it will not kindle upon you. And I got off and I said, wow. Is that all he had for me? Is that all he had? I was looking for this deep, long revelation. Then the Holy Spirit said, did you hear what God just said to you? Did you hear what he just said? He said, when you go through the waters, they will not overflow you. And when you go through the fire, it won't kindle upon you. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through some things. But I've called you. I've ordained you. I've anointed you to pass through. And God says that to you and I. We're his children, and he has a plan in every heart and every life. And he is saying, you're going to go through some things, but you will not go through them alone. I am always there. Stop looking everywhere but to me. Look to me, because that's where your answer lies. Amen. 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 It was a one-sentence word, but it was deep. And God will take you as deep as you want to take it. Hallelujah. I've had a heart for India lately. I don't know. I think I feel something's taking place. And I feel I'm going to go to Pakistan. I think that's where God's calling me to go. And I don't know what he's going to do or what it's about. I don't even have an idea. But I know he's putting it on my heart. I know I'm going to go speak to some Hindu nations. And I'm going to share the love of God with them. God loves them as much as he loves you. Amen. So I'm going to pass through some waters. And they're not going to overflow me. And I'm going to go through some fiery times. And that flame isn't going to kindle upon me, because he's called me and you by name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ah. John chapter 12. Jesus said, verse 46, I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth for me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth me not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Amen. In other words, Jesus didn't come at the time to judge you and I. He came to give you and I the words of life. Amen. Amen. Now there's coming a day when there will be, we'll be judged. But right now, amen, we're in the season of grace. We're the season of mercy. You know, one of the things the Lord was saying to me, he said in John 1:12, the Word of God says, to as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God. You know something? I'm a son of Reverend David E. Sly. And as a son of Reverend David E. Sly, I wear his name, Carl W. Sly. I wear my father's name. And God says to you and I, to as many as received him, he gave them power to become sons of God. In other words, I have a new name written down in glory. Oh, yes, it's mine. In other words, what he is saying to you and I, he gave you power to become the sons and daughters of God. Now, I know as a son to my daddy, I didn't have any problem going asking my daddy for anything because I knew how to go through mommy. Now, wait a minute, I'm going somewhere with this. I knew how to go through mommy. Mommy was so close to daddy, the two of them were one. Mommy was like the Holy Spirit. I went to mommy, and mommy went to daddy. Because mommy knew how to talk to daddy better than I knew how to talk to daddy. And mommy didn't always come back with the answer I wanted to hear. But I always got an answer. And most of the time it was no. But it was in love. In other words, as a son and daughter of God, so many times when we go to ask him for things, amen, God knows what's best for us, amen? And sometimes he just says, not now, not now, maybe a little later. And I was running in the park on Friday, and the Lord was speaking to me. And I like these little things he says. It's really interesting to me. And because I'm praying, and I'm praying for the body, and I'm praying for all of you guys. Amen. Your face comes before me, and I pray, and I pray in the spirit. I'm not all the time praying out loud. Amen. But the Lord's looking upon my heart. As you're reading, he was speaking to me. He said, you know, because I was asking him for some things. He said, yeah. He says, every time my children ask me for something, they want me to hurry up and give it. But every time I ask them to do something, they say, wait, I need to pray about it. Right? I mean, I'm asking him, I want everything right now. But as soon as he asks me to something, wait a minute, I'll go pray about it. I'm a compulsive doer. That, you know, and sometimes it's right and sometimes it's wrong, and sometimes God receives the glory and sometimes he doesn't. Amen? You know, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, but I learned from them. I'm not saying everything I do is I'm not seeking God's will, but sometimes when I'm asking God his will, you know, the Bible says if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. He gives liberally and abradeth not, and I ask the Lord for the wisdom, and I don't have the patience to wait for it, so I go ahead and do it and try to ask him to bless it. You know? Then I go back to him and complain. Oh, Lord, why did this happen? And then when I sit down and listen, they just ask me a question. Did you ask me? Yes, I did, Lord. Well, what did I say? Oops. So we just got to be careful where we said, God said. Did God say it? I say. Amen. Amen. Remember what we're talking about. We're talking about, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. You know, in other words, he gave you, but the second point is, let me become. Amen. Let me become. You know, how do I do these things that Jesus did? He said, well, because I go unto the Father. And if Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, I'll give you a helper. Even the Spirit of truth, amen, who the Father will send in my name, and he shall guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, he shall say to you. In other words, God's saying, Jesus is saying, greater works than these shall you do, not greater in multitude, magnitude, I mean. You know, we can't do anything more powerful than he did by raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, healing the sick, delivering the captives, but in multitude. Now it's Christ in all of us. You know, Jesus in his earthly ministry only ministered around Jerusalem, Judea, and that area, Samaria, and that area there. Well, the gospel's gone to the utter ends of the earth. Amen. How did it get there? Through men and women just like you and just like me. Amen. So when he's talking about in greater works, he's talking about greater things we do because he goes unto the Father. Now, when I was looking at that in Mark chapter 1, Jesus, in verse number 17, and Jesus said unto them, now we're talking about power to become, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. What is the first thing that God called and told his disciples that what he was going to train them to do? Come ye after me, and I will make you to become. You haven't got that already. I'm going to make you to become fishers of men. In other words, here he is. He's speaking to some fishermen. He's relating the word with something they could understand it with. He has said, come ye after me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. In other words, I'm going to teach you how to catch men without using a net, without putting a hook in their jaw. Hello? In other words, yeah, he's going to take them in a way and he's going to say, come after me, follow me, and watch what I do. Watch what I do. And, you know, as he's leading and guiding them, they're watching. He didn't say, come follow me and lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. He didn't say, come follow me, I got all the words of wisdom to teach you. No, he said, come ye after me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. That is the first call to every chosen person that's called of God. Jesus didn't put this in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John just for the sake of us reading it. He put it because we are becoming the sons of God. And if we're becoming the image of Christ, we're going to follow his example. Amen? Amen? The Bible says, the Word of God says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises like some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Amen? So he's given you and I power to become, as many as received him, he gave them power to become sons of God. Amen? That believe in his name. Now we become sons of God. Now, as a son of God, we become fishers of men. God wants to teach us how to fish. He wants to teach us how to fish without bringing harm to the fish. I've heard fishermen say all the time, that hook doesn't even hurt the fish. I don't know. Huh? It looks like it hurts. How many of you ever got a hook stuck in their foot? Has anybody here ever got a hook in your foot? Man, that hurts, huh? But I've heard fishermen say, well, that doesn't hurt. Amen? And if we fish for men, like fishermen fish for fish, they'll get hurt instead of caught. See, yeah, I don't believe in confrontational evangelism. Yeah, I believe I'm the minister of grace and love. Amen? You know, I don't have to come up here to you and tell you how bad you are. You already know how bad you are. I got to tell you how good he is. Amen? Amen? I'm a minister of love. God's called me to minister in love. Jesus even said, I don't judge you, but the Father may. Amen? And if Jesus didn't judge, we better not be judging anybody either. He says in his word, judge not lest you be judged. Amen? With the same measure you give out, the same measure you're going to get in return. So as we're ministering, we're sharing the gospel with a lost and dying world. You know, and Philemon, verse number 6. Philemon 6. The word of God says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. In other words, the communication of my faith, for it to have an effect, I've got to give the glory to the Lord. Amen? You know, it's the power of the gospel to save. It's not our words. You know, it's his words. Amen? I've been in so many different situations where if you were someone that were looking as the audience, you would say, there is no way that person is going to give their heart to the Lord. And all of a sudden, as I'm sharing the gospel, the power of God's word, you see their lives change right in front of you. You see the Holy Spirit melt their hearts and open their hearts and lives up to receive Jesus. Amen? It's the power of God. Amen. And when our faith is communicated in Christ Jesus, it's going to have an effect on everyone that hears it. Amen. It's going to have an effect. You may not see the results that you thought you would like to see, but it has effect because God's word declares his word will never return unto him void. It accomplished what he sent it to do. So every time I go out and share the gospel, if they don't give their heart to Jesus, it doesn't matter. God says, amen, I'm doing the work. Amen? I'm doing the work. Some of us are stubborn. Some of us were rebels. Hello? I share with you, man. I was a rebel. And be honest with you, I'm still rebellious in a lot of areas. The Lord's molded me and shaped me. I haven't arrived yet. Amen? You know, if I've arrived, I'd already be there. Yeah, I'm still there. Amen. You know, and as we're walking and we're becoming the image of Jesus Christ, the Bible says our sanctification is a process that takes our entire lifetime. Amen. Amen. We're being transformed even now. You know, the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 7, Paul says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power." Amen? By the effectual working of the power of God, by the effectual working of the power of his word, by the power of the Spirit, by the power of the name of Jesus. Amen? Man, you know, that's when we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given unto us the ministry of reconciliation." In other words, he called us to become what? Fishers of men. He called us to as many as received him, to them gave he power to be the sons of God. He says, and even then, they follow after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. So we become sons and daughters of God, and we become reconcilers. How do we reconcile people to God? Through the gospel. It's the power of the gospel. Amen. What is between them and God? Their sin. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is that flow. No other fount I know. Amen. Amen. So what he is saying, he said, let me believe. Let me become. And then let me bestow. Let me bestow. Let me give out what you've already given to me. And Jesus said in John 14, he said, and 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, greater works than these shall he do. Because I go unto my Father." But in verse 17, he says, how will we do this? How do we do this? He says, "Even the Spirit of truth, and the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Amen? In other words, I can't give what I don't have. So if I want to bestow something on somebody, I cannot give them what I do not have. You know, Jesus said in Luke 24, 49, he said, "But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power on high." Acts 1, 8, he says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." Okay, so we find that there's a deposit of the Holy Spirit. We've been given the power of God to bestow on others. And we find this, you know, after the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. If you go to the next chapter 3 of the book of Acts, let's go there. Peter and John are going up to the temple to pray. And as they come to the temple to pray, there's a man that's at the door of the temple, the gate of the temple, begging alms. Peter looks steadfastly in his eyes, and he says this. He says, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." In other words, what Peter was saying, he was looking at this paralytic man at the temple gate. He said, it wasn't that Peter couldn't get the guy money. He could have went back to the house and got money. But money wasn't going to solve his problem. Peter knew what he had inside. Peter knew what he had in the power of Jesus' name. Peter says, it isn't money that you need, guy. Money ain't going to help you, because tomorrow you're going to need the money again. And the next day you're going to need the money again. And the next day you're going to need the money again. And I'm going to give you something greater than that money. I'm going to give you the power to get money. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. In other words, what God is saying this. Sometimes we're asking God for everything, for the effects. And God wants us to get to the cause. Amen. God wants us to get to the cause. We're asking the Lord to do this. And he's saying, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto you. In other words, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that's in you to every word that comes against you. You got to believe what God said about you. You got to stand on it. Hold on to it. Grip a hold of it and say, God says this. I can do this. Amen. 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 You know, we might fix your problem today, fix your problem tomorrow, but you're still going to have the problem unless you go to the problem solver. I heard a song. I can't remember the. I couldn't find the name of it because I didn't stop and look. But it was a song I was listening to, and it was speaking to my heart because I do this all the time. Good luck fixing that. Good luck fixing that. Good luck doing that. That's what you want to do. You know, I see all these things, and I try to do everything I can to help them and work out. And the Lord is just saying, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto you. Amen. In other words, you can't give them fish. We got to teach them how to fish. Amen. Amen. And you know what? And I'm saying this in the next several weeks. And I don't know how we're going to do this or whatever, but the Lord spoke to me about it. He just spoke to me again right now. We're going to have some classes on budget and finances in this place. We're going to have some classes to teach you how to get ahead. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes we got to be motivated. Amen. Sometimes we have to be motivated. Amen. Sometimes people can motivate themselves, but a lot of times people need someone else to motivate them. Amen. Amen. God wants you to be whole. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. Amen. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. You know, he said in Romans 8:11, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body by the spirit that dwells in you. Amen. That word quicken means make alive. Amen. It comes from the Greek word zoopoio. It means that we're alive and active. Hallelujah. God has raised us from the dead. We're not dead people walking anymore. We're alive in Christ Jesus. Jesus has paid the price for you and I. He is saying to you and I in the house today, if you believe in me, the works that I do, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. And let me tell you something. That's Christ in you, Christ in me. That's the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God's just looking for some men and women that say, okay, Lord, I'll just believe you at your word. I just believe you at your word, Lord. Amen. I believe you at your word. I believe you at your word. I believe you at your word, Lord. You said it, I believe it. You said it, I believe it. You said it, I believe it. You said it, I'll do it. Amen. You know that James 2 says that you believe in there's one God, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. He said, faith without works is dead being alone. Hallelujah. In other words, somebody ought to be able to see that you're alive in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Do you hear what God's saying to us in the house today? Do you get what he is saying to you and I in closing today? Amen. I can get excited. Amen. I see God do so much. Amen. And he's just begun. 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 He that started a good work in you is faithful to see it through. Man, God's doing something in the house even right now. God wants you to understand in closing today that he gave you power to become sons and daughters of God. He's given you the ability to become fishers of men as we follow Jesus. And we can bestow good things on others. We could go up to people and say, hey guys, I know you're in need today, and I don't have the answers to your need. I'm not telling you to hold back if you do, but I'm saying I don't have the answer to your need, but I know the one that has every answer. His name is Jesus. Amen. Can we just stand together in agreement and believe? Can we all just stand in agreement and believe? Can we stand in agreement and believe today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you'd like to, lift your hands. I just love to lift my hands. I love to lift my hands in the sanctuary and give the Lord praise and glory. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. And Lord, we thank you that you sent your word today in our hearts and lives to accomplish what you sent it to do. Father, I thank you for everyone in the room today that has a fresh revelation that they are sons and daughters of God, that we have become your children, and that we, as becoming your children, that we're to fish for men, that we're to bestow the good gifts that you've given to us on others. Your word declares that every good gift and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So, Father, I pray for an impartation upon the congregation today, Father God. When we read John 14, may we never read it the same again. May it be an igniter in us, Father God. May it ignite the spirit within us to get busy about the Father's business. So, Father, I pray your blessings upon everyone that's gathered here as they go today. Father God, may your face shine upon them, Father God. Bless their health and bless their wealth, and whatever they put their hands to it, may it be blessed, because you call your children blessed. So, Father, I thank you for all that you've done today and all that you're going to do. Bring us back to your house tonight as we gather together to worship you, and as we break some strongholds.